Killer Ovations Podcast for Monday, June 20th, 2005, show number 15, coming to you from Toronto, Canada. Hello, this is Phil McKinney, and welcome to this week's podcast. As I noted in the introduction, this podcast is coming to you from north of the border, Toronto, Canada. I'll be here for a few days, and then I'm off to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for an event that I'll be speaking at with regards to government lobbying around technology. And then next week, I'm off to London. So I'm not sure where next week's podcast is going to come from. Could be Washington, D.C., or could be London. Thanks for the emails. Keep them coming. Email address is podcast@killerinnovations.com. I do enjoy the interactions and the questions, and we're going to be addressing some of those in upcoming podcasts. So please keep those emails coming, even if it's just to say, hey, I found your podcast and I'm a listener. That kind of feedback is encouraging and appreciated. Also, just as a quick reminder, as of July 1st, we're going to be making some slight changes to the ID3 tags. These are the tags that get embedded inside the MP3 file. So we're going to be making those changes as of the first podcast in July, basically in response to questions and requests from listeners to make it easier for you to store and find and retrieve the podcast, if you want to go back and listen to previous information, etc. So remember, July 1st podcast in July will have new tags, file names, etc. So if you need to make any adjustments, just giving you the heads up on that. Also, want to say thank you for the votes on Podcast Alley. A number of you have voted since the last podcast, and I do appreciate that. And I do read the comments over there quite regularly. So I can't respond to you directly because your entire email address does not get displayed. So I'd love to respond to you directly. So feel free to drop me an email with any of the comments that you've posted over there, and I can respond to them. Also, I would encourage you to visit. There's a new site, new directory site that's come up, Podcast Pickle, if you haven't seen it. Great site for you to find additional podcasts. The nice thing about Podcast Pickle is that they also give you ratings, you know, G and PG and PG-13, all the way up to the adult content. So you can kind of find the content that matches your style for what is it you want to listen to. So I'd encourage you to visit Podcast Pickle. One email that I did get this week was from some new listeners, people that have just recently found the podcast. And because this podcast is a little bit different, we don't present, you know, per se, news information about recent announcements, etc. It's more about sharing with you lessons learned and etc. with regards to innovation. People have been going back and catching up or trying to catch up on the older podcast. And right now we're at 14 shows, which means that's about 7 hours of podcast that a new listener would have to go back and listen to in order to get caught up. Now, not all of that you need to listen to, and I would encourage you to go over to the killerinnovations.com podcast, and you'll see the subject matter of each of the podcasts, and you can find the ones that are the most appropriate. But what one listener has asked for is maybe a quick background catch-up with regards to the Killer Innovations concepts and themes so that someone that's a new listener could listen to one kind of catch-up podcast and at least understand what it is we're talking about. So I'd be encouraged to hear from other listeners if you think that would be useful, maybe a 30 or 1 hour podcast just on the core concepts of Killer Innovations that a new listener could then just download and in maybe a Cliff Notes version kind of get caught up while they're trying to get caught up through the older podcasts. So if that's something of interest, let me know, and maybe I'll do that as an upcoming addition to the normal podcast. And again, that may be helpful to new listeners. For those of you who are not familiar or who are new listeners to the podcast, welcome. Again, feel free to ask whatever questions you might have. You can either send them to me via email, or you can phone the feedback line, 703-636-4460, or you can also Skype me at Phil underscore McKinney. Today's show, we're going to have the normal three segments. Segment one, we're going to talk about structured innovation. Last week, we kind of teed it off with an introduction to what the benefit for a structured innovation process is and what kind of results you could see for your business or organization. So today's podcast, we're going to go into more detail and talk in specifics around what's called a gate milestone process for innovation. Segment two, we're going to talk about what's called the doubling rule. And this is basically a means for you to look at innovation trends within emerging markets and look for ways to improve or change the doubling rule and what kind of impact that could have. And basically create your own weak signal by fundamentally changing the rules. And then in segment three, we are going to go ahead and have the killer question of the week. So let's go ahead and get started. As a refresher for last week, we talked about what the role or the benefit for a structured innovation process is. And just as a reminder, we talked about the fact that, studies have shown that innovation can yield up to a 30% annual return against its investment. And again, that's not just, you invest $1 million and you get a 30% return. That's not what that means. It means if you create a structured innovation process, the process that in fact creates a pipeline of ideas, you can anticipate a 30% return if you have a well-defined and well-structured process. A lot of businesses rate innovation as being critically important, but also at the same time, businesses recognize that they don't implement any kind of a structured process. It is purely kind of a random success that they've had purely by serendipity in uncovering ideas or innovations that lead to breakthrough products. And when you look at, there was a recent study, and I talked about this again in last week's podcast, talking about the Product Development Management Association survey, that basically said that those that had a structured innovation process, and it's relatively a small number, I mean, less than 30% of businesses have any kind of a structured innovation process. But those that do have a much higher percentage success rate in transforming their ideas into successful products. For those that have a process, they have about an 80% success rate in translating ideas into successful commercial launches versus those that don't have it. At best, you're going to have a 50-50 chance of turning that into success. So with that in mind, what we're going to talk about today is one of the processes is one that we call a gate milestone process. And for those of you who are familiar with gate milestone, it's not that dissimilar. The key is with any gate milestone process is that it's really about discipline. Every organization will have its own approach to doing idea generation and how you introduce products or whatever the case might be. The key with a gate milestone process is really about discipline, meaning that you're going to measure time and direct stages for the process of going from ideas all the way through to commercial launch of that product or service. The key is also is to identify and hold those gates, meaning that there are clear decision points that management can step in and say whether that's a go or a no-go. Meaning that management has the opportunity to then stage its investment and stage it for incremental success. So that if a gate is achieved, and that's key, that you've identified and clearly understand what does it mean to clear a gate, meaning I've completed, let's say, the ideation phase, and now I'm going into what I refer to as the definition phase. I understand what it is I have to achieve to get to that gate, and I also identify what is the criteria for success, meaning that I get the green light to move on to the next phase. So, clear criteria for clearing the gate, and you identify and you hold to the gates. Don't let the gates get soft and allow things to kind of move on. The key with the go, no-go decision is really to give a comfort feel not only to yourselves and to give you a stage process, but also I have found that it gives great comfort to senior management, because then they can or at least they can establish the understanding that they are going to invest by phase. So therefore, they're not committing to a big bang project where I'm going to have fund somebody to come up with an idea all the way to commercial product, and I've committed the entire set of dollars. That management's going to have an opportunity to step in, look at these gates, and give a go, no-go decision. Now, as I said in the last podcast, what I've done is I've taken a gate milestone innovation process that I've used, and I've sanitized it, meaning I've taken out specific terms that I've used with customers, clients, when I was doing innovation consulting, etc. And I've posted this gate milestone up on the website. So you can go to killerinnovations.com and you can download it. I'm giving it to you in two formats. One is a PDF and the second is Visio. So if you have Visio on your desktop, you can download it. You can make whatever modifications and changes you want and apply it to whatever your business. And you quickly understand when you look when you see this document, this gate innovation milestone process, it's a one-pager. And I'm a big believer, if you can't describe the process in one page, you're never going to get senior management to buy into what it is you want to do. And it's basically broken down into phases. The first phase is the ideation phase, and you will quickly see that that's actually one of the smallest phases in the milestone. We all tend to focus on the creativity and the creation of the idea, but you quickly figure out that in order to go from idea all the way to commercial launch, the amount of effort that is required involving all the different parts of your organization in order to turn that raw idea into a commercial success is huge. So with that, the gate milestone focuses, yes, it does identify the ideation phase, or the phase that allows you to create the raw ideas and to get to some early proof of concepts, but you quickly focus on phases that are critical to transform that idea into overall commercial success. So the next phase is the definition phase, which is taking this raw idea and this raw proof of concept prototype that's developed during the ideation phase, and now try to put some substantial meat or effort behind defining exactly what it is that you're going to define. One of the other things in the definition phase is the focus on developing multiple prototypes. So this isn't a phase we're going to do writing a lot of documents and putting together a lot of PowerPoints. One of the key criteria for success in structured innovation processes is the development of rapid prototypes, rapid proof of concepts. These don't have to be finished software. They don't have to be finished products, but it has to be enough to allow you to get it in front of a customer and get feedback from that customer as to whether or not it's going to satisfy their needs, wants, desires, and that they're willing to part with whatever share of their wallet to go buy what it is you want to deliver. So rapid prototyping, rapid proof of concepts are critical during the definition phase. Third phase is the development phase. And this is where, the real hard, heavy lifting really gets into play, which is translating what you've defined into a commercial product or service that you can take to market. And that's kind of the typical, whatever the development phase that you've got. Also, the next is what we call the release phase. The release phase is how do I wrap up all the activities around coming out of development in order to make that product really ready for commercial offering. And this includes, during this phase, interaction heavily with customers in order to get feedback. Some people would call this beta testing by customers, whatever term you want to use. But this is a heavy customer involvement phase in order to validate that what you showed them in the definition phase is what you're actually going to release to the market at the final phase. So release phase is really a lot of internal planning, but it is also the point of validation with the customer. They've seen it in definition. Now you're going to show that to them in what I would call the release phase. And then the final phase is really deploy. Final gate, everything's ready to go. You're ready to roll it out. Channel's ready to sell it. Customer service has been trained. All of those activities. So the deploy is really you fire the gun and you're off to the races. Now, when I've used this diagram and I tailor it for every customer project that I've worked on, one of the things that I have found useful is to color code the individual tasks or phases that are shown on this chart. Now, the color coding for me is I use red, yellow, green, which are obvious. Red is that activity is way behind. Yellow means we're at risk. Green means it's ready to go. And then I also use another color, which is gray. Gray means that that task is completed and it's been signed off, and therefore is nothing that has to be worried about. Secondly, the way I use this is I keep it to one page. Now, individual teams are going to use this to do their own internal planning, and they're going to have their own substantial plans that go behind this to make it all work. But this allows you to clearly communicate back to your management team and even down to the individual organizations that are driving success on this delivery or transforming this idea or innovation into a commercial success. This one-page document allows everybody to see clearly what has to be done, what has already been done, what is at risk, and clearly where the decision points are, where management is going to step in and make the go, no-go decision. Am I going to make that next investment in order to take this to the next level? Okay. The other thing is when you're running a project like this, and this is with any project, any kind of significant program, and I've run projects that have been in the, five, seven, a billion dollar, 5 to 700 million, up to $1 billion kind of programs. Key is when you look at kind of a gate milestone process, and this applies to the innovation gate milestone. It's the critical pieces is for you to make sure you have identified one owner for every lane. And when you see the document, you'll understand what I mean. So every lane in this gate milestone needs to have a clear owner. And you clearly want to make sure that the people who own it can operate effectively as a team. And also that you have diversity of opinion. Because once the idea is defined up in the ideation phase, that is not the end of the innovation. Innovation can needs and can continue to occur in each of the through each of these phases. So diversity of this team can add a huge amount of value to improving upon and building upon the original idea that was generated. Now, like I said, I've made this document available on the killerinnovations.com website, both in a PDF form and also as a Visio document. You are free to use it. I'm licensing this under Creative Commons. What I ask for is that you attribute the document if you should use it other places. Give credit back to the Killer Innovations podcast, myself, etc. That it be used for non-commercial, meaning you can use it for your own commercial projects inside your own organization. But it is for non-commercial, meaning you don't have the opportunity to resell it or license it, etc. If you modify it and you do want to share it and you want to license it also under Creative Commons, you need to share alike, meaning that it's by attribution and non-commercial. Okay? If you're not familiar with Creative Commons, you can look under creativecommons.com and get some background. But I just want to make sure everybody understands that this is free for you to use. All I ask is credit where credit is due, and it's not commercial, and that you, meaning that you don't resell it for free for fees or charges of any kind, and that when you do distribute it to others, you also license any credit, any additions or changes or modifications you make to it as a Creative Commons. And hopefully you have you benefit from this. And if you make changes or if you find additions or if you do improvements, let me know. In fact, what I may do is I may post this up in the new community space that I'm testing out, meaning I'm creating an area where listeners of the podcast can come together, share ideas, share approaches, share innovations, etc. And what I may do is I may post the Visio version up on the in the community board, and that would give you then the ability to make changes, ask questions, post comments, etc. And what I'd like to do is use this document as kind of a version 1.0 and almost treat it like an open source approach. So if you have changes and improvements to creating an improved upon structured innovation process using gate milestones, then here's an opportunity for us as listeners to all collaborate together and share our expertise and share our knowledge. Okay. Now let's go ahead and move on to segment two, because segment one ran a little long, so we're going to try to shorten this up and keep it within the 30 minutes. So in segment two, we're talking about the doubling rule, and what does this mean really for weak signals, which is what we categorize or what we've defined as segment two really being about. Weak signals being those early sparks, early ideas, early emerging markets that could lead to the next real breakthrough for a business market, customer, geography, etc. What I mean by doubling rule and what its impact is doubling rule, you may be familiar with something called Moore's Law, which basically says that computers and microprocessors basically double their performance every 18 months and halve their cost, meaning their cost expense is 50% less than what it was than the previous when it was 18 months ago. Now, those of us in the industry, particularly those of us who follow trends and try to look towards the future, we use doubling rules to kind of project what the performance is going to look like. So, for instance, you can take Moore's Law, map out the 18-month improvement, and you can kind of predict what the performance would look like for microprocessors out to the future. And one of the significant doubling rules that have been tracked here lately is that of magnetic disk storage, so the hard disk space. And rather than the 18-month rate for the Moore's Law, the industry is really driving really at a 12-month innovation rate. So think about it. In the case of magnetic disks, if you look back to 1994, it cost you about $1 per megabyte to store that. Now that price has plunged down to 10 cents by the year 2000. It's plumbed down to 4 cents per megabyte down to 2002. And down to 2005, we're down under a penny a megabyte for the hard disk storage itself. So you can just kind of see what that trend line is. Now, the key here, though, is that the innovation rate for the hard disk industry has not always been 12 months. In fact, during the 80s, the industry was operating really on a 24-month innovation rate, meaning doubling rate. A pace that really placed it behind or trailing some of the other technologies. And in fact, for those of us who've been around this long back in the 80s, there was this big prediction that magnetic disk storage was basically going to go the ways of horse and buggies. And it really was going to be silicon storage that was going to overtake disk storage. So rather than having a Winchester drive sitting in your machine or sitting inside your iPod, it would all be silicon storage. So what caused the disk storage industry to accelerate their innovation rate? What drove them to go from a 24-month innovation rate down to a 12-month innovation rate? Well, really just one word: competition. And what happened was is the magnetic storage industry was not ready to roll over and die and let silicon, which was innovating at an 18-month rate, take over and win. And so what happened was is that there was a huge burst of innovation through the early 90s that again changed that rate from 24 months down to 12. The impact is that silicon never caught up, and at the current innovation rate, never will, unless the innovation rate for silicon improves. And so the key here is that it used to be that once an innovation rate was defined, so Moore's Law for silicon, 18 months, disk storage used to be 24, then switched to 12. The key here, though, is that innovation rate, or what we've learned is that innovation rate is not fixed. Innovation rate, or the doubling rule for a given technology, can change. There's something from the outside that can fundamentally change that rate. And that has huge impact when you think about what the impact to the marketplace really is. I mean, think about at a 12-month doubling rate, the impact or the reduction of cost of storage literally has resulted in the iPod. The iPod that we know today in the marketplace would not exist given the older innovation rate. So the key here for weak signals is what are some assumptions around doubling rates for a given technology that, if changed, could fundamentally change the marketplace. So if you think about Winchesters, you think about Winchester disk drives, you think about other technology, silicon. If you fundamentally changed it, what would that result in? What new kinds of products or what new kinds of capabilities could be created if those silicons or innovation rates were fundamentally changed? I mean, it's mind-boggling when you think about products that exist today that would not have existed had that innovation rate not changed. So I know I'm rambling here. So again, hopefully you got the point here. So look at the doubling rules or the innovation rate for technology that's key to your industry, and just make the assumption: what happens if that gets cut in half? What kind of products could you build? What kind of price points would you have? Should that be brought forward? Okay. Now, moving on to segment three, the killer question of the week. And for those of you who are new listeners, the precept behind killer questions is rather than just asking a simple question when you're in a creativity or brainstorming session, can you ask a more intuitive, better open-ended question that causes you really to change your perspective and change what you're thinking about from the standpoint of opening up you to new ideas, new possibilities, hopefully creating an idea that leads to the killer innovation. So in segment three, this week's killer question is, can I reduce by half or double my distribution cost? Again, the killer question of the week is, can I reduce by half or double my distribution cost? Now, for many of you, you're listening and saying, what kind of killer question is this? And key here is forcing you to change perspective. Now, what I mean by changing perspective is we tend to focus on one area. For instance, in the case of distribution cost, we tend to focus on how do I reduce it? How do I get rid of it? How do I cut it out? Etc. But in this case, don't always assume or don't always go down the path that you normally would go down. In this case, normally we would want to look at how do I reduce my distribution cost. What happens if you double your distribution cost? What kind of markets, what kind of customers does that open you up to? Think about it in relation to high-end stores. You go to Fifth Avenue or Paris, even Moscow now or Hong Kong, and you see these very, very high-end designer shops. And I don't know about you, but every time I look into one of those stores, And I've come to the quick calculation that the less that they have in the store, meaning fewer racks, fewer items, etc., directly correlates to the increase in the price that they charge for those goods or services. So in this case, they significantly increase their distribution cost. How much does it cost for them to get the product to the store? What is their store cost, etc.? And what happens there though is it just isn't just increasing cost, it changes perception about the quality of the product and service. I know it's silly, I know it doesn't correlate directly to the value or the cost to manufacture that product or good, but think about it. If you double your distribution cost, does that fundamentally change the perception of your customers about your product or service? So it isn't always about cutting cost. You, in effect, can go in and double your cost and significantly increase the revenue base that you get from any product or service that you make to order. Another example is the custom suits. I was just recently in Bangkok, and then when I'm in Hong Kong, you can set it up. Tailors come, they'll take all the multiple measurements. And in fact, if you're in the U.S., the big name tailors will come here. They'll come to your office. They'll do those measurements. You get multiple fittings for that suit, and you get that custom made bespoke suit made specifically for your body shape. Now, yes, the cloth is really nice, and it does, fit you just as you are measured. But I don't know about you, but I never stay the same size from year to year, anyways. But the cost for that suit can be significantly more. And does that correlate to the value that you get from the item? May or may not, but you have this perceived value, and the fact that you can go out and tell your work associates that you've got a custom tailored suit changes that perception. So again, the killer question for this week is, can I reduce by half or double my distribution cost? And then the follow-on question is then what market opportunity does that open for this product or service? Can I reduce by half or double my distribution cost? And what market opportunity does this open for the product or service? And with that, we're going to wrap up the show. Please keep the feedback coming. Email address is podcast@killerinnovations.com. Or you can call the voicemail feedback line at 703-636-4460. And just so you know, I've had the feedback line up really, I guess, since show three or four, and I think I've gotten two messages. So pick up the phone, call it, leave a question, leave a suggestion, and those that are appropriate, then I will include those and play those at the end of the podcast. If you have a podcast that you think is also appropriate, call the feedback line and leave a little plug. And if I can, I'll play that. Also, you can Skype me at Phil_McKinney. Also, visit Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. Use those feedback mechanisms to let the host of your favorite podcast know that you listen and that you enjoy. Or you appreciate the effort they put in to creating their podcast. Also, tell others. I've received some emails where people have shared the Killer Innovations podcast with their company, their departments, and in fact, in one department, the Killer Innovations podcast, from what I understand, is now required listening. It's an innovation team within one of the major corporations, and now they are using the Killer Innovations podcast as a catalyst for their weekly discussions within their team, and so now it's required listening. So tell others. If you're using the Killer Innovation Podcast in a unique way within your business, let me know. I'd like to share that with others. As I said before, all the support materials, the Visio and PDFs for the gate milestone process will be posted on the killerinnovations.com website, so feel free to go there, download it, share it with others. What I would ask is if you make modifications and changes, post it back. Send it to me or post it up in the community board. so that others can benefit from the enhancements, improvements. Let's use this as kind of an open innovation process so that us as a community can improve and create the best structure innovation process that we can all benefit from. So with that, I want to wrap up the show. I know I've gone, 4 or 5 minutes long here. I appreciate you hanging in there and listening here to the end. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.